Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And Terry McCormick is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Terry, how you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was good.
Yeah?
Enjoyed it.
What was your favorite part of it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, sitting around, relaxing, eating, and then taking naps.
nothing wrong with that. And, boy, those two games yesterday were a perfect time to take a nap because,
they were bad. They were very much nap time games, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, and we're going to move into the Titans-Colts game in just a second. If the Texans – I'm going to ask you this. If the Texans had the Steelers scheduled to this point in the season, they played the same schedule as the Steelers, what do you think the Texans' record would be? Would it be the same or would it be different in your opinion?
Maybe a little better. I think that team, there was something internally wrong with that team. I think Bill O'Brien had basically run his course. And, you know, when players stop buying in, I don't know that for sure, but it sure looks like it, that players stop buying in and bring in a guy like Romeo Crennel, who's got a different, more laid-back personality, and sometimes you get guys to respond and play. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that there's talent on that team, but for whatever reason, you know, they just had burned out on Bill O'Brien's, what it looks like to me. So I think their record would probably be a couple of games better, but I think the change in coaching has probably been the biggest turnaround for them.
They have not lost. Well, I take that back. There's one team. They've lost to the Vikings. That is the only team they've lost to this season that's not a playoff team. Well, I guess technically the Ravens are on the outside looking in. So, but, I mean, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, Vikings were their first four games, which that's brutal. Titans, Packers, Browns. That's their losses this year.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, finish up 7-9, 8-8, which would be pretty good after an 0-5 start.
They're gonna play part of the story here in this division because they still play the Colts twice.
Twice, yep.
And they've got the Titans again. Mm-hmm. And they've got some weak opponents, which I think they should beat.
Bears and Bengals.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I think they're going to be feeling pretty good about themselves and be a tough out unless they get a wave of injuries. When you got Watson in there, that's the thing. When you watch him yesterday, when you have him, you have a chance just because he makes so many plays where the initial play's not there. He just starts moving and extending, and the next thing you know, he's hitting the guy down the field.
Is it me or did J.J. Watt look like he was 5 years younger yesterday too?
He looked really good, that's for sure. He was wreaking havoc. Looked like 2014 J.J. Watt. I think when you look at this team, you know, like I said before, there's some talent. Do you think, you know, if they had known that they were going to go down this road and fire Bill O'Brien, do you think they would have rethought the trading of DeAndre Hopkins? You know, wow, what if they still had that guy?
He has 5 100-plus yard receiving games this season. There's no other receiver in the league that's got that. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, Bill O'Brien, the GM, is going to go down as maybe – listen to this. Here's – you want a fact? He may go down as somebody who was worse than Ryan Grigson in Indianapolis. How about that? He may go down as worse – I can't use Ken Whisenhunt because he was a coach. But if Ken Whisenhunt was a general manager, I would throw Ken Whisenhunt into that – But, yeah, I mean, Bill O'Brien, the GM, was a colossal, colossal failure. And that's on the Texans front office and ownership group that they allowed him to do that buffoonery. I mean, he is going to set that franchise back, which is good news for everybody else in the AFC South.
It is. But, you know, but at the same time, you talked about Deshaun Watson. You know, it looks like to me, and maybe with a new direction they can turn this around, but it looks like to me that the Texans are going to do a lot of the same things that the Colts did with Andrew Luck and not not give the guy enough protection, not have enough weapons around him, and waste the best years of the guy's career by, you know, floundering around in the middle of the pack and occasionally making the playoffs, making a first-round exit, that sort of thing.
You know who else you could throw into there? You know who else you could throw into that mix that I guarantee would jump in and say, hey, don't forget about me? Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Same deal. Because you know why? It's easy when you have that special guy under center to say, you know what? He's so good, he'll bail us out on our deficiencies on offense. We'll just keep, you know, we'll keep doing, you know, things on defense and do other things, right, rather than to help him out.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is teams with mediocre quarterbacks, what do? They do just the opposite, right?
They
just try to keep giving him everything he can do. Sound familiar? Marcus Mariota? Let's just keep loading up everything on offense to give him every advantage possible. That's what you do with an average or mediocre quarterback. Instead, when you have the special ones, you tend to not help them because you know they're so good.
And I'll give you another one that fits into that category as well in terms of a guy who the team didn't do him any favors by surrounding him with talent. It's the guy the Titans are going to face on Sunday, Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
All those years with the Chargers.
No doubt.
You know, they didn't put a lot of talent around him. He took them to the playoffs multiple times, but they could never, ever get past the Patriots and, you know, whatever other teams stood in their way.
Well said. That's another great example. Now, Phillip Rivers has been dealing with that toe injury that he suffered in the Packers game. He hasn't practiced all week, but we've seen his history. He's not missing this game. He will be in there. Although the Titans do get some good news on that front. DeForest Buckner, who is quite the disruptor on defense, is not going to suit up and play on Sunday.
Yeah, he's on the COVID-19 list he's on. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so, because he's not on the injury. He's not on the injury report.
Yeah,
so.
He's not on the injury report. But he is now confirmed to have tested positive, which means he's out 10 days, minimum.
Yeah, that's a big deal because that Colts defensive front they were giving Ryan Tannehill fits. He took a lot of hits in that Thursday night game. So if you're the Titans and you know you've already got a patchwork offensive line that he's going to be playing behind, and you've got to do extra things to protect him. The fact that their best defensive lineman won't play has got to be good news, because that was probably Tannehill's worst game of the year against the Colts in that Thursday nighter.
Who is the first Titan to step on the field for the first time this season? That's a lot of first in there. A, Adoree Jackson. B, Isaiah Wilson.
Wow. That's a good question.
Uh-huh, I know. That's why I asked it. Who's going to be the first to suit up and play a game with the Titans this season? Adoree Jackson or Isaiah Wilson? Or should C, none of the above?
Probably none of the above.
Really?
If you're going to make me pick one, I'll say Isaiah Wilson, simply for the fact that he's at least practicing and he's next man up.
Why didn't they IR Adoree Jackson, Terry, if that's the case?
I think what happened is, you know, and nobody will confirm this, I think he was out there practicing when they designated him for return. And I think he must have suffered some sort of setback with that knee, because he disappeared. And Adoree Jackson's sighting out on the practice field, I think you'd probably come about as soon as seeing Bigfoot on the practice field and have a Bigfoot sighting out there as you would an Adoree Jackson sighting these days. So I think what happened was he must have had some sort of setback. I think the reason they've not transferred it back to IR is they must hold out some sort of hope that he's going to be able to give them something in the month of December and in the playoffs, because that's the only reason you wouldn't go ahead and just shut him down for the year.
So, Terry, in looking at the injury report for the last couple of days, it seems like we play this game with you every Friday when we have you on before they actually hit the field, because we're all anxious to see what's going to happen. But another piece of good news along with, I guess, the news on DeForest Buckner is that Roger Saffold has been able to at least do some things in practice. I'm still not sure what that means in terms of his availability, but boy, it'd be great to have him out there if he could give you, if he could finish the game.
Yeah, it really would, because he would help solidify that left side of the offensive line. With Ty Sambrello now out, you're looking at being down to your third left tackle, which I presume is going to be David Quisenberry, although they could always flip Dennis Kelly over to the left side and put Quisenberry or the aforementioned Isaiah Wilson on the right side. And the only other option would be to put Saffold out at left tackle and stick with that kid, Aaron Brewer, that played last week and actually played pretty well in Mike Vrabel's assessment of him. I think, though, with Saffold not healthy, I doubt that would be an option. I think if Saffold's not close to 100%, you want him in there and is comfortable in playing where you can get as much out of him as possible without asking any extra. So if they can get him back, it certainly would be a boost for an offensive line that's taken its share of hits this year.
Also in the category of boost, Kenny Vaccaro has been a full participant coming off of the concussion protocol, and now we see Adam Humphries able to do some limited things in practice yesterday. So, again, just reinforcements. They were so depleted in that win over the Ravens. It was pretty remarkable. I think we're going to look back on that game. You hope there's not another wave of injuries, but they were down about as low as you could go. So just to get a few of these guys back would just give a mental lift, if nothing else.
Yeah, the Vaccaro thing was really a mystery because he was added to the injury report last Thursday, not yesterday, but the Thursday before. And then they declared him out on that Saturday after having listed him as questionable. Said that he was listed with a neck injury, and then they said that he was having concussion-like symptoms. So I think Kenny Vaccaro is probably on track to be back this week. Adam Humphries, I guess, today would probably tell the tape for him. If he's able to give them something and able to clear the concussion protocol with the independent doctors, then if he can give them something, that pretty much puts their receiving core back at full strength, and that would be a big, big boost against the Colts going into a game that you guys know is probably going to decide the AFC South title.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned that. We were talking about that earlier this week, Terry, that when you look at Humphries missing as many games as he's missed, Davis and Brown each have missed two games for different reasons, but they have not had those three on the field for more than about 2.5 games out of the 10. So, because Humphries right before the half of the Bengals game went out. So when you put it all together, they've only really had those three guys out there about a quarter of the time. So it'd be nice to have those three because we know how well Ryan Tannehill surveys a defense and finds matchups. And then he's going to, like you said, he's going to need to do that on Sunday.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, the more weapons you can get, especially skill positions, I think when you look at this Titans team, this is one of the few times in the past few years where you look at the Titans and you say that player for player, they looked more talented than the Colts at the skill position. I don't think we've been able to say that a lot over the years when you're talking about the Titans against the Colts. The Colts, on the other hand, probably are stronger on both lines, both offensive and defensive lines. And I think that was a big key in their win the first time because they were able to move the football with Hines and also with the rookie running back. His name is slipping my mind. From
Stewart,
They drafted. And they were able to move the ball that way. And plus, that Phillip Rivers got the ball so out of his hands so quickly in that first meeting. And, that's how they beat the Titans. The Titans are going to have, getting back to the receiver thoughts, the Titans are going to have to win the game by having some balance on offense. And that means using those weapons on the offensive end, those skill position players to complement Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill, I think, threw for 157 yards in that game. They've got to have more than that out of Ryan Tannehill, unless, of course, Derrick Henry goes off for 200 yards. But they need that balance. They need Henry with about 120, 125 to 30 yards rushing, somewhere 125 to 150 yards rushing, and then they need Tannehill with 200 yards passing. And I think a big part of that is going to be getting the ball into the hands of those skill players and letting them do their thing and not having key drops like A.J. Brown did early in that Colts game. It's kind of set the tone.
Yeah, boy, that one drop, we all still wonder what that would have done. But you make a great point sort of tying the two together, Terry, because one of the reasons why they didn't have more yards, they moved the ball pretty well. Henry ran it well. You mentioned not a lot of yards for Tannehill, but another aspect was they couldn't get on the field. They didn't have the ball a whole lot because the special teams goof-ups and the Colts were on the field a lot. And so that was something that I was looking at. The Colts have excellent pass protection, one of the best in the league. The Titans, we know, have maybe, arguably, the worst rate of quarterback pressures in the league, depending on what stat analytics thing you're looking at. They can be last, right? If they're not last, they're close. And one of the things you hit on, Rivers, he definitely got rid of the ball quick, and that was something that was mentioned, but there was just nothing to disrupt his rhythm, right? He could take an extra second if he wanted to. He had the time. And he picked the Titans apart. I'm just wondering what adjustments they'll try to make because they've got to get him out of rhythm. That's when he makes mistakes. If he is on rhythm, you know, he could probably be 45 years old or 50 years old and still make the passes he was able to make.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the thing of it is, you guys know this, Phillip Rivers doesn't have a big arm and anymore. You know, he's not the Phillip Rivers of 10 years ago where he could throw the ball down the field, throw a lot of those deep outs or those deep post patterns and things like that. He's not that guy anymore. And if I'm the Titans, you know, one of the things that they've got to do, even if they don't have their frontline corners out there, they've got to play a little bit more press man coverage and take away those little slants and hitches and those little short routes that hit where he's hitting the guy in stride and then he's running for 3 or 4 yards extra before the defensive back ever gets there to make the tackle. Play press coverage, make Phillip Rivers beat you deep, to me, is the way you do it with against him these days. Not sit back and let him pick you apart while you play soft zone.
How's this play out on Sunday?
Ooh, you know, I want to pick the Titans because I think they're a better team top to bottom.
But
just have their number. Colts just have their number. So until I see them do otherwise, I'm going with Indy in probably a 3 or 4 point game.
Yeah, it's hard to see. Just the history. But I guess we'll find out what direction people are going to go in our final hour of the program in Pick 6. Terry, really appreciate it as always. We'll be watching on Sunday, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
All right. Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, you too. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. And, yeah, Sunday up in Indy, Titans and Colts, final matchup of the regular season for those two teams. We'll come back and discuss some of that, discuss some of what you heard. We'll throw some numbers your way. And I'll ask Willie that question. Who gets on the field first, Isaiah Wilson or Adoree Jackson? Or is it none of the above? Terry even threw out, it's probably none of the above. Are you kidding me? Really? By the way, Texas has just scored. Yeah, there is college football today. There's a pretty good slate of college football. Texas has just scored to extend their lead. Extra point pending right now, 9-0 over Iowa State. You've got Notre Dame and North Carolina a little bit later. Some good games. And a game on Fox here coming up in about 45 minutes. This game, by the way, if you're looking for it, is on ABC. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.